faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
All right, welcome. Glad you are with us. Worldviewradio.com. Welcome, VCY America listeners and their 58 terrestrial stations, as well as Frank Speech, Lindell TV, WVWTV.com/live. Glad you guys are all with us. And I want to talk today about the coming religious Reich. The coming religious Reich. Now, you know I wrote a book on that topic, right? You guys all know I wrote a book on that topic back in 2015, but I'm going to give you some PowerPoint slides today. I'm going to give you some very interesting information about that topic today, because there are people out there that are talking about the coming Reich. I just watched a video of a lady today that was speaking at a Clay Clark conference that someone sent me, and she's talking about, hey, this is very similar to what the Nazis were doing in the Third Reich, and now this is the Fourth Reich with what they're doing with this experiment on us. This is against the Nuremberg trials, doing these experimentation on us without full disclosure and forcing this onto people, and she's right. And yet that's what my 500-some-odd page book was about that came out in 2015, The Coming Religious Reich. Now, you say, how did you know that, House? Well, I'm going to tell you how I knew that. Anybody could have known it that wanted to study the topic, right? And I'm sure there have been others that have done that. But let me first go to a brand new clip by the Archbishop Vigano, who is, again, I've not played these on the air on any broadcast yet, because I finally made it through his 90-minute video, pulling what I think are the salient points. This next one is very interesting in relation to the Vatican Council II. I want to talk to you today about the Vatican Council II and how it helped set the stage for the coming religious Reich. Now, remember, it isn't going to be just the Catholic Church, Pope Francis, whoever comes behind him, that continues this. This will be going on in the Protestant Church, which again is why I wrote the book, Marxianity, Religious Trojan Horse, The Coming Religious Reich. This is going to be a global thing that involves all religions. So I'm not picking on the Catholics. This is just as much going on in the Protestant world. But I want you to know that this isn't just anti-Catholic, you know, rhetoric by me. Here you have the Archbishop Vigano saying, the Vatican Council opened the door. The Jesuits got involved, the Freemasons got involved, and they opened the door to what was, he believes, destroying the traditional orthodoxy of the Catholic Church. I believe the Jesuits and the Freemasons opened the door as well into the Protestant world, particularly the Southern Baptist Convention, and destroyed traditional biblical orthodoxy in that denomination. So it's going on both accounts. But just to show you, this isn't just the rhetoric of some non-Catholic myself. This is the same thing that Archbishop Vigano is saying, and it fits in with the rise of the coming religious Reich. Watch this.
The smoke of Satan entered the church more than 60 years ago with the council. And I would say even earlier. The revolution of Vatican II was possible because it was prepared and organized in the smallest details for decades by traitors who had infiltrated into the Roman Curia, dioceses, universities, seminaries, religious orders.
All right. So notice he says the smoke of Satan. Now, unless you follow the Catholic Church, you probably have no clue why he would say that. When the cardinals pick a new pope, you know, they go into their conclave, and they stay in there for, you know, hours and days if necessary, and they vote to pick a new pope from among themselves. And when the cardinals pick a pope, they let out white smoke from the building there at the Vatican, which they're meeting. And so notice he says, well, let's go back and play it again. Let's go back because I get the exact wording. Let's go back to see what he says. Let me move this player button out of the way so you can see this. Here we go.
The smoke of Satan entered the church more than 60 years ago with the council.
All right. Well, and of course, what he's referring to there could also be the Vatican Council II, which is what I think he's referring to when he refers to the council. But it's interesting that he says the smoke of Satan, because you have the cardinals who pick a pope and they let out the white smoke, which we, you know, remember that a few years ago when they were waiting on Pope Benedict to be picked and then Pope Francis, and all the media were trained on the chimney waiting on the white smoke. So there's a little bit of both things that could be being talked about here. The leadership of the Vatican that put into place people that then went on to set up the Vatican Council II. Now, the Vatican Council II was an ecumenical council that ran from 1962 to 1964. And I've talked about the Vatican Council II many times. The Jesuits, of which Archbishop Vigano, also former Jesuit priest Malachi Martin, has talked about, very, very critical of Vatican Council II and the Jesuits, right? Well, the Jesuits were largely behind the Vatican Council II, which was an ecumenical document that opened up the Catholic Church. Basically, prior to that, as I understand it from my research, there were a lot of pretty much high walls, and a lot of Catholics didn't run around and associate with a lot of Protestants. Meaning, you didn't run over to the Protestant churches and take part in their things, or vice versa, and there was just this high wall of separation. Particularly with, and it was also going on within the Protestant world too. There was a clear delineation between the Protestant world and the Catholic world, and everybody understood, yeah, we can be nice to each other, we have friends and family and neighbors, but we're not going to commingle our theology. There's a distinction between the two groups, right? And of course, there's been centuries of tension because of the Reformation and the Counter-Reformation, and we won't get into all that. But reality is, the Vatican Council II from 62 to 64 lowered those walls on the side of the Catholic Church, which said, let's go out and let's be involved in more evangelism, their style of evangelism, to bring more people back to Rome, to the Church of Rome. And let's also go into other religions and let other religions come and meet with us. And that's why pretty much what you see, Ron Carlson used to talk about this a lot. When you see the Vatican or the Catholic Church move into a particular country, it would take on the flavor of that particular country. So if it moves into the East, it would take on more of the flavor of the Eastern religions. And we've seen that into the Catholic Church big time since the Vatican Council II. I'm not saying it wasn't there before, but after the Vatican Council II, it really took off like a rocket ship. And in America, you see more of a Protestant influence onto the Catholic Church in America. You go over to South America, you have a completely different feel of the Vatican, of the Catholic Church in South America as you do America, or if you would in India. So the Vatican Council helped. Listen now, the Vatican Council II, 62 to 64, that met largely by the Jesuits, helped to open up more of an ecumenicalism that helped to create a syncretism, a convergence, a merging together of religious beliefs. Now, this is one reason why Archbishop Vigano is very critical of this, and I would agree with him. But this is also why we've seen the massive rise of ecumenicalism. So this is all going to play a part in what I'm explaining to you is building a religious world system, okay? Not just made up of the Catholic Church, as some want to do. It's going to be made up of all religions, largely because of what has happened with not only the Vatican Council II, 62 to 64, but then we also have people like Chuck Colson that signed on to documents, evangelicals and Catholics together. So there was an ecumenicalism going on both sides of the aisle, my friends. Both sides were pushing this. Both the Catholic Church was pushing this ecumenicalism from the Vatican Council II and the Jesuits. And then you have people like Chuck Colson and others, including a Catholic priest, that were involved in Evangelicals and Catholics Together document that opened the door on the Protestant side. Well, all of this has allowed a convergence or a syncretism to occur that is occurring, as I've said, with other religions being allowed to come into both the Protestant Church, Buddhism, Hinduism, New Age, mysticism, as well as into the Catholic Church. But all of it together is setting up a one-world religious system. Now, there is Archbishop Vigano says, I don't know if I have the clip or not, but in one of the other clips, he talks particularly about the three-legged stool. I don't know if he knows he's talking about the three-legged stool, but he is. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that today. But he's talking about religion and politics and economics. These things are merging together. And of course, there's another three-legged stool, big government, big business, and the social sector. He also talks about that. He uses different ways to describe it, but the same thing, big government, big business and the social sector, or a religious element. The social sector could also be religious nonprofits, okay? This three-legged stool of communitarianism, and he does use that word, by the way, in his presentation, which communitarianism is really about a third way, a third option. Opposites collide and fight and offer up a third option. And that's really what you have today with the Hegelian dialectic being used within the Protestant world, the Catholic world. Opposites fighting, they merge together and produce a new thesis, a mixture of a little bit of everything as the opposites fight and collide. And he's warning about that. Well, the Jesuits are big time behind this. So let's go to the next clip before I go to some PowerPoint that I think will help you understand this, if indeed you are wanting to understand the big picture and the coming religious Reich.
And it is also significant that the same people who propagandize equality also consider membership in the Masonic Lodge as a condition of privilege that places them in a position of moral superiority with respect to the uninitiated masses.
Now, that's very interesting. The uninitiated masses. The uninitiated masses. Now, he makes a lot of Freemasonry and the Lodge, and I have no issue with that, and I agree with him. But I believe today, and I've said this before in other programs, that the Lodge and the Freemasonry and the philosophies and the ideas of the Lodge, they aren't just represented in the Lodge. In other words, Freemasonry, as we know it, could collapse. And in many regards, Freemasonry is not what it used to be. It's still around, the Lodges. But the Lodge has had a very hard time. The various branches of Freemasonry have had a hard time recruiting younger generations in. Doesn't mean it's not still there. It is. We all see the Shriners, the Shriner Circus. That's the highest levels of Freemasonry. But the ideas or the philosophies embodied in Freemasonry are not exclusive to the Lodge. And they are not new to the Lodge. They were around before the Lodge was ever created. In fact, these ideas would have been birthed in the Garden of Eden with Satan in the form of a serpent to Eve. You will be like God. You will know what is right and wrong. So you have humanism, you'll be like God. You will decide what is right and wrong, moral relativism. You eat of the fruit and you will have hidden knowledge. That would be esotericism, hidden knowledge. Esotericism that is also tied to a Gnosticism, which is, again, a huge definition, but a simple definition of Gnosticism, of which the Archbishop talks about in his 90 minutes. Gnosticism is the idea of hidden knowledge, that you can have access to hidden knowledge. That's also esotericism, hidden knowledge. You'll have access to this hidden knowledge, and you can do it through drugs, hypnosis, altered state of consciousness. You know, you can have a spirit or master guide, as the New Agers do, which we know are really demons. So this did not begin with the Lodge. Please understand, this did not begin with the Freemason Lodge. So while he puts a lot of emphasis on the Lodge, Freemasonry as we know it, their numbers could dwindle and the philosophies that are in the Lodge would still be around. Humanism, man can save himself through good works, right? Man can save himself. Man is his own God. Man can save himself. That's Freemasonry. That was in Genesis long before the Lodge. Esotericism. Gnosticism, hidden knowledge through various practices, occultic practices, mysticism, moral relativism, situational ethics, right? So understand that the ideas that he keeps bringing up that are in the Lodge are definitely there, but they are also embodied in, as he says, Buddhism. Buddha being what is said by Albert Pike to be the first leader, teacher of Freemasonry. These are all global ideas that have penetrated every religious group, even the Protestant world. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. And for those of you watching by television, that is Delta. That's the Delta cam. And there she lays on her bed to the right of the desk, sleeping. One of the advantages of watching on TV is you get to see shots like that, right? What a beautiful girl, right? Well-trained. Look at that. Beautiful. Some of you guys probably about this time are getting ready to take your yellow labs to go out and do some quail hunting, some pheasant hunting. I used to do a lot of that with my first lab summer. I just don't have time for that anymore. She could do it. She comes from a good line, good hunting line. I don't have time to study all this and go hunting. So I don't know. Maybe the Lord will say, Brandon, you didn't get to do a lot of hunting there down on Earth, so I'm going to let you have a lab in a big old field of sorghum grass and corn, and you can hunt. But I guess you can't hunt. I don't guess there'll be any death in heaven, so I don't know how we're going to do that. Anyway, I would love to have time to go hunting. Just isn't on the schedule anymore. But at least I still have a lab. And she's always there, right there, always close by, TV, radio. So she's our studio dog. All right, let's go back to the clips by Vigano. I think this is my last clip from Vigano before I go into some PowerPoint for you, as we understand the coming religious Reich, a book I wrote in 2015. And I talked a lot about this kind of stuff in that book, a lot about this in that book. And so let's go to the next clip, as the final clip I have of Vigano.
How did the revolutionary principles inspired by Freemasonry lead to the creation of the modern state? What is the next step in attaining their objective of a global nation or a single world government?
The modern state was born from political, social, and religious conspiracy of the Masonic sect.
All right, let's stop right there. There it is. Look at that slide. Social and religious. I'm going to go back just a little bit, because what did he say before that? It was born from what? Let me back it up a little bit. Back up the slide here. Let's see. Let's play it.
Social and religious.
No, it didn't go far enough. Let's go back a little more. Let's see. All right. There we go. The modern state was born from political. See that on the screen in the transcript? Born from political, social, and religious. Political, social, and religious. Well, he's pretty close to the three-legged stool. All he's lacking really is government. He's got the political and the religious. He's got the political and he's got the religious. I don't know what he means by social, but he's got the political and he's got the religious. If he added one more leg there, government, he would have the three-legged stool. So he's got two of the three legs, political, religious, and social. But he's got two of them right, political and religious. The third leg of the stool would be government. And this is what not only, and by the way, what's very fascinating is that this is exactly what occultist Alice Bailey, who channeled a demon, who up to write over 10,000 pages, this is also what she, in her books, writes years and years ago, that the new order would come through the three-legged stool of political, religious, and government. And she says the Masons will be heavily involved. She says Freemasonry will be heavily involved in this. Now, this is ironic because the demon's telling her this, the cultist New Ager Alice Bailey. How would the demon know that? Because the demon knows the Bible. And as I explain extensively in my book, Marxianity, if you're like, oh, I'd like to have all this in print, I have all this in my book, Marxianity. And I go through this because Revelation 18, if you go to Revelation 18, you will quickly begin to see the three-legged stool that Alice Bailey and her demon talked about. When you go there, you quickly see like Revelation chapter 18, verse 9, kings of the earth. What is another word for kings or prime ministers? They're representatives of what? Government. So there's government. Verse 11 of Revelation 18, what do you have? Merchants. And the merchants, okay? And then verse 15, the merchants, okay? So you have also in verse 2, you have Babylon. Babylon the Great. What is Babylon? It's a government. It's a world government. She's become a dwelling place of demons. What's demons? Spirituality. And a prison of every unclean spirit. What are we talking about? The spiritual realm. Religion. Spiritual. A prison for every unclean, clean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of her wine. All the nations. Okay? So this is a global government. And it goes on again in verse 3 to talk about the kings of the earth. And then it goes on to talk about the merchants. So you keep seeing government, religion, and spirituality. Or you could call it government, religion, and commerce, government, religion, and commerce, or government, religion, slash spirituality and commerce, or business. It doesn't matter whether you call it commerce, whether you call it merchants, whether you call it business, same thing. Whether you call it religion, whether you call it spirituality, same thing. So you see that three-legged stool. Regardless of what they call it, you see that three-legged stool. Government, religion, and business in Revelation 18. That's how the demon knew to tell Alice Bailey, the New Ager, Alice Bailey, that the coming order would be based on that three-legged stool. And she specifically herself says the Masons will be heavily involved. Well, here is Archbishop Vigano talking about the Masons. He's going to do that here in just a minute because he says the social and religious conspiracy of the Masonic sects. He gets two of the three legs right. He's missing the third, but he mentions political and religious. He just lacks government. Now, again, if you want to understand what I'm telling you, it's in my book, Marxianity. This, again, I'm going to remind the audience, came out in November of 2018. We blew through the first printing. We sold it out, and I was not going to reprint. My folks are too busy filling freeze-dried food orders and other things, producing TV, getting out television. We're just too busy. And I thought, well, just let them get the PDF. But so many people like me are old school and want a physical copy to hold, and they want to pass it out and give it away to people. So I said, fine, we'll reprint. But instead of selling it for $20, I'm going to sell it for $4.99. Because that way we can just shove as many copies out there as possible. Maybe people will buy quantities and give them away. So I'm being told now that that will arrive to us around a week from today, a week from yesterday. We'll see if they're on time, the shipping. Everything's back. But I'm being told it'll be around the 14th or 15th. It'll be shipped. So that's probably not when it would arrive. It'll be shipped. So we'll see when it arrives the next week, and then we'll start getting the orders out, as we said, around the last week of October. So we seem to be right on schedule. So if you want to order it, you can go to wvwtv.com/store, wvwtv.com/store, and just click the image of Marxianity, and you can get the 336-page book, Marxianity, for $4.99 versus the original $20. Remember, it's subtitled How the Evangelical Deep State and Their Useful Idiots, that's a historical term, are merging Marxism and Christianity through social justice, white privilege, cultural Marxism, illegal immigration, interfaith dialogue, and more. Now, if you're interested in what I'm explaining related to Revelation 18 and the three-legged stool, that's all in that book. But notice the Archbishop is warning of the same thing, but he throws in the Masonic, which is, again, very interesting because Alice Bailey, who was channeling a demon, said the three-legged stool would bring about world government and the Masons would be heavily involved as well. Again, how does the demonic world know this? Because the demonic world is helping to orchestrate it. It's a spiritual battle, and they also know the Bible, Revelation 18, as do you and I. Now let's go back to the clip.
The modern state was born from political, social, and religious conspiracy of the Masonic sects that wanted to cancel the kingship of our Lord. First, from the civil society by means of the French Revolution.
Okay, so actually, if he is going to describe the civil society from the basis of the French Revolution, then he is going to be really representing aspects of government, because that's what was overthrown, was a government, okay? A governmental revolution. So he is including, I would say, government in this. So he does, I would give him the benefit of the doubt that he probably has all three in his mind, if he's going to mention the French government and the French Revolution, that he does have government in his three-legged stool. Let's keep going.
And then, from the Catholic Church, by means of Vatican II.
All right, so there's the Vatican II. Now, that Vatican II, again, is what helped to bring about the religious. So he's got the Freemasons, he's got the French Revolution, he's talking political, religious, and social. It talks about the French Revolution, and then the Vatican Council II. And these all fit together. They all go together because, as I explained at the beginning of the program, the Vatican Council II, which was an ecumenical council from 1962 to 1964, was all about lowering the walls of the Catholic Church, being pushed by the Jesuits, by the way, to do this. I didn't know which one to go to first. Well, I should go to my slides first, or I'll go to my book first. I think I'll go to my book first. Hang on a second, Logan. All right, now you can show my screen if you want. Let me go to my book first, The Coming Religious Reich, that came out in 2000, 15. Let me quote to you from Cecil Rhodes. Well, maybe come back to me first, Logan. Sorry, buddy. Cecil Rhodes. Now, many of you know who Cecil Rhodes is, right? Cecil Rhodes was De Beers' mind, right? Very rich guy, Cecil Rhodes. Cecil Rhodes, of course, is what we have from which we get Rhodes Scholars, the Rhodes Scholars. Bill Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar, right? Bill Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar. I think George Stephanopoulos was a Rhodes Scholar. I mean, there's a lot of them. You can go look them up. And what the Rhodes Scholarship was about was money left by Cecil Rhodes to give scholarships to go to Oxford to learn the idea of what he wanted taught to these students, which is the idea of a Eurocentric world government. He particularly wanted to see a world government out of Great Britain. I don't think you're going to get a world government out of Great Britain, but you are. He, Cecil Rhodes, will eventually see the fulfillment of his objective, which was, in essence, a Eurocentric world government. And that would be Babylon. That would include Babylon. If you go back and look at the expansion of Babylon and her borders originally, this is going to be a Eurocentric world government, and it will include Babylon. And by the way, Europe is leading the way, right? Europe is leading the way. They're leading the way on this. I don't care about the Brexit. That's a name only, really. They are so connected and tied, and all they have to do is have a few hiccups along the way, and people will be begging for more intrusion into their economies, particularly if they bring about a global cyber attack to attack the economies, as he is saying is going to happen, and we've been warning is going to happen. So Cecil Rhodes set out to use his money from his wealth after he went through school. And by the way, when he went through school, Cecil Rhodes was mentored by a guy named John Ruskin. I deal with this in my book, Becoming Religious Reich. John Ruskin, he taught there at Oxford, and he taught not only Cecil Rhodes, but he taught Sidney Webb. Sidney Webb, with his wife Beatrice Webb and others, went on to start the Fabian Society out of Great Britain. The Fabian in the 1800s. The Fabian Society, of course, gave birth to the Labour Party. The Labour Party is Tony Blair. The Labour Party, the Fabians, are about world government, crisis by world government, or world government by crisis. There, if you go to the Fabian window, remember, the Fabian window is what? It includes a wolf in sheep's clothing. I think I will quickly go to the PowerPoint slide and show you remind you about the Fabian window. Let me go to that real quick. The Fabian window, because it is in the Fabian window. There you go. You can show that if you want, Logan. It is in the Fabian window that you have what? A wolf in sheep's clothing. That symbol above the burning hot earth on fire is the of a wolf in sheep's clothing. So religion is going to be heavily involved. That's why I call it the coming religious Reich. That's why Archbishop Vigano is saying, look, this is what they're going to be about. But go back to the Fabian window. You got these, for the new people, you got these two men banging on a hot earth on an anvil. One's holding it with a pair of tongs or banging on it. And notice the guy to the far left blowing wind onto the fire. He's taking a crisis and he's making it bigger, right? And if you look there, that symbol, That little sign, which you probably can't see, but there's a sign right in front of the fire that says, pray devoutly, hammer stoutly. Pray devoutly, hammer stoutly. What are they all doing at the bottom of the window? They're praying. What are they praying to? Well, if you could blow it up and see, which I've done, and I've done whole TV shows on this, they're praying to a stack of Fabian books, right? George Bernard Shaw developed this in 1910. What's it say at the very top of the window? Remold it near to the heart's desire. Remold what? The world. After what? A crisis. To make it more moldable. People to go where they otherwise would never go. Just as I've been telling you, just as Archbishop Vigano said, this has been to get the masses to go where they would not go. And yet, what is the symbol above the hot earth on fire of the Fabians? A wolf in sheep's clothing. So the Fabians will use religion. So we come back, I'll explain how Cecil Rhodes developed Rhodes Scholarship and how it's all leading to world government, a global Reich. All right, welcome back. Glad you are with us. All right, so let's go back to the screenshot here. Worldview Radio, website worldviewradio.com. By the way, the banquet on, or the luncheon on Saturday with General Flynn is sold out. The concert banquet has a few tickets left, but selling quickly. The concert banquet a week from last night. The conference itself, we have a few tickets left, but we are just on the verge of selling that out. So if you want to get in, I would suggest you get online and get your tickets quickly if you want them. And if you bought tickets, just show up at the door. You should have printed out your receipt from the conference. You would have been able to print out a receipt with when you registered. And if you register by mail or over the phone, just show up at the door. We'll have your name. Check you right in. But if you want a ticket for next Friday night, a week from tonight, in the Ozarks, you can drive there. Centrally located for many of you. The hotel or the resort itself is sold out, but there are people staying at other resorts, the Four Seasons, other resorts in town. So don't let any of that stop you, all right? It's going to be wildly worth it. But if you want to register, wvwtv.com/store. People are asking, are we going to live stream it? No, we are not. If I live stream it, who would show up? I mean, no, I'm not going to live stream it. It will be filmed and go into the Situation Room at situationroom.net, our VIP club. So it will be filmed and loaded into the Situation Room. As how many of the have we finished loading up last year's into the sit room, Logan? There's like five of them in there. We're going to finish those up. But this year, you're going to be producing that live in real time. So we won't have to worry about the months and months of post-editing of that, right? I think that's what you're going to do? Yeah, I think that's what you should do. That way, when each talk is done, it's already been post-edited because you've been post-editing it on the fly as it's live, just like we do TV. And then it can go right into the Situation Room the next week. So for our VIP members, they'll find a lot of this stuff that I talk about, including our conferences of years gone by, at situationroom.net, situationroom.net. You can join for a minimal monthly fee. But otherwise, if you want to still attend next weekend, wvwtv.com/Ozarks, wvwtv.com/Ozarks. Now, let's go to my screenshot, because I was telling you about Cecil Rhodes. Cecil Rhodes was mentored by John Ruskin. Let me come back to me, because I got to tell you this, too. John Ruskin mentored Cecil Rhodes, and he mentored Sidney Webb, who started the Fabian Society, which led me into what the Fabians are about, world government and a religious system. And Tony Blair's Fabian, because he admits and acknowledges when he unveiled the Fabian window when it was stolen and then showed back up, and at a ceremony it was unveiled, he gave the speech and talked about how his party, the Labor Party, came from the Fabians. And what is Tony Blair doing, by the way? If you want to get onto the religious track of the Fabians and the Labor Party, what is Tony Blair doing? Tony Blair runs the Tony Blair Faith Foundation, which is merging the religions of the world together. Well, of course, because religion is a part of it. We see it in their own Fabian window that Tony Blair himself unveiled, a wolf in sheep's clothing. So John Ruskin at Oxford mentors Cecil Rhodes and Sidney Webb. Now, what's interesting about Ruskin is that he had what you would think is a swastika on his tomb. Now, he died before Hitler and the more common understanding or view or picture of the swastika. But I don't think it's really a swastika. It's a Hindu symbol, because if you look at the Hindu symbol, it looks like a swastika. Hitler took it and tweaked it and made the swastika. Okay. So isn't it interesting that John Ruskin has that on his tomb? He mentored Sidney Webb of the Fabian Society, and he mentored Cecil Rhodes. So Cecil Rhodes uses his wealth from the De Beers mine, diamonds and gold, to set up a scholarship to send kids through school there in Europe to learn about a Eurocentric world government, which is where we're going. But there's also a Jesuit connection. Let's go back to my book. Now, this is a PDF of my book. Page 149, The Coming Religious Reich. Cecil Rhodes grasped the connection with the Roman Catholic Church, and this is how he conceived his answer for world peace. Quote, "The key of my idea discussed with you is a society copied from the Jesuits." Now, who was warning about the Jesuits? Archbishop Vigano in a previous recording we had from this 90-minute talk of his. Also was Malachi Martin. "The key of my idea discussed with you is a society copied from the Jesuits as to organization, an idea which will ultimately lead to the cessation of all wars and one language throughout the world. The only thing feasible to carry this idea out is a secret one, gradually absorbing the wealth of the world to be devoted to such an object. Fancy the charm to young America fancy the charm, to young America to share in a scheme to take the government of the whole world. Okay? Now, Carol Quigley wrote about this. Carol Quigley, by the way, was a globalist. He wrote many books. I've told you about Carol Quigley writing in his book, Tragedy and Hope. But he also wrote a book called The Anglo-American Establishment, where he talks about a lot of this. And you can come back to me, Logan. And he predicts a lot of this. So Carol Quigley, who predicted a lot of this in his books, knew this to be true as well. So this is not coming from some right-winger, okay? This is coming not only from Cecil Rhodes, but it's also coming from Carol Quigley, who studied the papers and writings of Cecil Rhodes and the secret societies. And he mentored Bill Clinton, by the way, Cecil Rhodes did. I think his book, Tragedy and Hope, came out in 1966, off the top of my head. But he mentored Bill Clinton, and Bill Clinton gives him a shout-out at his Democratic National Convention speech. So you have this idea of mimicking the Jesuits for world order. Isn't that interesting? Now, I want to poke something into my Control-F here. Let me poke in Control-F. And I want to give you a couple more quotes real quick. Let me scroll through this. Okay. Let's see. All right, here we go. Let's go back to this, Logan. Cecil Rhodes. Now, here's Carol Quigley writing. Carol Quigley is writing this about Rhodes. Carol Quigley presented just exactly how serious Rhodes was about making sure his legacy did precisely what he wanted. Quigley explains the particulars of Rhodes' last will and testament. Now, this is in my book, The Coming Religious Reich, which if you belong to the Situation Room, it should be in there as a PDF. So I'm quoting Quigley, who then goes on to quote from the last will and testament of Cecil Rhodes, Rhodes scholars. Think Bill Clinton, George Stephanopoulos, people that are given these who go into government, politics, religion, finances, you know, public policy, nonprofits, to achieve the idea of world government that is a Eurocentric-based world government. So here's what is in Rhodes' last will and testament. Quote, to achieve this purpose, Rhodes in the first will, written while he was still, this is again quoting Quigley, still an undergraduate of Oxford at the age of 24, left all his wealth to the Secretary of State for the Colonies and to the Attorney General of what is Sydney, this guy is Sidney Shepherd, who's left to be used to create, listen now, a secret society patterned on the Jesuits. The reference to the Jesuits as the model for his secret society is found in a Confession of Faith, which Rhodes had written 2 years earlier in 1875, and which he enclosed in his will. 13 years later, in a letter to the trust of his third will, Rhodes told how to form the secret society, saying, quote, now this is quoting right from it, in considering questions suggested, take Constitution of the Jesuits, if attainable, and insert English Empire for Roman Catholic religion, end quote. So every time you see what the Jesuits write about regarding the Roman Catholic religion, just type in English Empire. Then I write, quote, fascinating. In his will, Cecil Rhodes set up his estate to say, quote, what I want you to do, this is basically paraphrasing, what I want you to do with my incredible wealth is to train young men and women, particularly in the areas of politics, economics, religion, and journalism, to design a world government based in Great Britain, and I want you to use the Constitution of the Jesuits as a model for how the empire will work, end quote. Now, that's basically me paraphrasing. That's why it's in quotes, because it's basically me paraphrasing and saying this is basically what he said. Then I go on to write, Carol Quigley documents that Rhodes wanted his secret society to be a, quote, church for the extension of the British Empire, end quote. For these people, their belief system was a religion. Rhodes wanted his secret society to become a church for the extension of the British Empire. And I believe this false church, this harlot church, as described in Revelation 17:1, will be the mode for bringing about the Reich. In that regard, Quigley also explains how effective Rhodes' plan has been. Quote, again, Carol Quigley, quoting Carol Quigley about Rhodes, quote, the Rhodes scholarships established by the terms of Cecil Rhodes' seventh will are known to everyone. What is not so widely known is that Rhodes, in five previous wills, left his fortune to form a secret society which was to devote itself to the preservation and expansion of the British Empire. And what does not seem to be known to anyone is that this secret society continues to exist today. To be sure, it is not a childish-like It is not a childish thing like the Ku Klux Klan. It does not have any secret robes, secret handshakes, or secret passwords. Now, that doesn't mean, folks, that the Freemasons and other secret societies don't. He's just saying this group of people, they don't need all that silliness. They don't need all that. It does not need any of these, since its members know each other intimately. It probably has no oaths of secrecy, nor any formal procedure of initiation. It does, however, exist and hold secret meetings. This group is, as I shall show, one of the most important historical facts of the 20th century, end quote. He then goes on, in the Anglo-American Establishment, a book written by Carol Quigley, Quigley also connects another dot, Lionel Curtis, a British author, thinker, and governmental secretary to early 1900 globalist Lord Milner, greatly advanced the cause of a one-world system. According to Quigley, quote, Lionel Curtis is one of the most important members of the Milner Group, or as a member of the group expressed it to me, he is a fons et ego. It may sound extravagant as a statement, but a powerful defense could be made of the claim that what Curtis thinks should be done to the British Empire is what happens a generation later. I shall give here two recent examples of this. In 1911, Curtis decided that the name of His Majesty's Dominion must be changed from British Empire to Commonwealth of Nations. This was done officially in 1948. Again, about 1911, Curtis decided that India must be given complete self-government as rapidly as conditions permitted. This was carried out in 1947. As we shall see, these are not merely coincidental events, for Curtis, working behind the scenes, has been one of the chief architects of the present Commonwealth, end quote. Then I write, even though many folks on the right go crazy into conspiratorial secret handshakes, secret initiations, and such, Quigley lays out almost as if to say, look, they don't need any of that secret stuff. All the players know each other. They're very organized, and they are united. And their goal? Of world government. It will happen. Now, I go on from there to write in that book. Now, the point I'm making here to you is that much of this world government is based on the philosophies of Freemasonry, but they're not philosophies exclusive to Freemasonry. They actually began Genesis chapter 3. The Jesuits and the Freemasons are involved, but these ideas have been picked up and carried. So you see now that Cecil Rhodes, who starts the Rhodes Scholarship that's influenced men into government, politics, and journalism, is stealing the ideas of the Jesuits. So while you have Archbishop Vigano warning about the Jesuits, he should also be warning about the Council on Foreign Relations. He should be, and he already is warned about, and maybe he has in other things, to be fair to him, but he has warned about the Rockefeller and the lockstep plan, right? So what I'm trying to tell you is these are not exclusive to just these groups. Their philosophies and their ideas have, they've moved and they've gone around. Now, I can open it up and take phone calls right here. Maybe I will open up and take phone calls right here. and then I can go into more of this next week. So here's my question. Do you find this interesting, or would you rather me just to do a rip and read from the local Drudge Report or, you know, some other conservative website? Do you want me to keep teaching you this stuff, or you want me to dumb it down for you and do what every talk show host out there is doing who's too lazy to go do this kind of homework so they rip and read from the headlines? I want your thoughts. 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. Not that we shouldn't cover the local headlines. I do that. I'm just saying I can keep it really simple or I can go deep. Which one do you want? All right, 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. You know, they always say there's those kind of people, the people who watch it happen, the people who wonder what happened, and the people who make it happen, right? There's also probably a fourth group, the people who know what happened and know what's happening. So that's what we want to be, the people who know what's happening and what's happened and what's going to be happening. And that's what we want to do. We want to understand the world in the big pieces. I guarantee you, most people don't understand what I've just explained to you. It takes a lot of work, a lot of research. Basically, I'm a nerd, and I have a lot of questions I want answered, and so I go and I research this stuff. And I can do basic talk radio, which is rip and read from the headlines, which is good. I do that. But I try not to be a show for the masses. And I know I could probably pick up a bigger audience if I just kept it simple. I know that some people tune out like, oh, this is going over my head. This is giving me a headache. It's too much. Then the show's not for you. Then this show is not for you. Or maybe another day is for you. Maybe another day when I do the kind of radio or TV you like, that then maybe that day is for you. But I owe it to this audience to help them understand. It's like the Marines, the few, the proud, the Marines. This is kind of what my audience is. It's a select group of people that really want to know what's going on. So I want your thoughts on this. 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Notice again, the Archbishop said that these people who claim that they're all for equality, reality is that's a lie, because if you're part of the uninitiated masses, you're not included. And that's why I call these people useful idiots, by the way. That's a historical term by Lenin, because they think they're going to be part of the revolution. They think they're going to be a part of the great utopia. They're going to be a part of the great redistribution of wealth. Well, they'll get some breadcrumbs, but the uninitiated masses, which includes a lot of useful idiots in the uninitiated masses, are just that, uninitiated. They are not entertained to thought that the elite have been entertained to, or the goal, or the plan, or the agenda, nor do they have the wealth and, in some cases, the breeding that is required. Okay? So he's right. These people that claim to be all about equality, no. They have no interest in equality from the uninitiated masses. But by initiated, I really mean, in some cases, occult initiation. They are, whether they know it or not, whether it was a formal ritual or not, in some cases it could be, skull and bones, Freemasonry, bow the knee, open the chest, your shirt open to expose your chest, and put on the blindfold and say you're lost in darkness and need the light of Freemasonry to save you. Definitely a ritual, definitely a secret society with blood oaths, etc. But that isn't necessary for all of these people. And a lot of these people never did any of that. Meaning some of them never went through any kind of ritual to be initiated, but they did whether they knew it or not. They began to serve Satan and were initiated, many of them, without ever knowing it. Some of them were initiated through the occultism, through New Age. Some of them were initiated through their sexual perversion, and they've had their conscience seared. So very fascinating program today. I want your feedback. Let's go quickly, line one. Scott, thanks for calling in. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, I was wondering if you see any correlation when he said 60 years in the smoke of Satan between the assassination of President Kennedy and, he was the first Catholic president. And be interesting to know if the Masons were involved in the assassination at any level, and the Jesuits as well.
Yeah, I would kind of doubt it, because I think the groups that were mostly involved were the CIA, the mob, and LBJ. Although, you want to see something fascinating, go study the creation of the CIA, and the CIA was greatly influenced by the Jesuits. So just as Cecil Rhodes says, hey, take the model of the Jesuits and let's duplicate it for ourselves, if you go study the CIA, the CIA studied the Jesuits as well, and particularly they studied how they collected and gathered secret information. So I would say that a type of Jesuitical group was involved, i.e. the CIA, I think, was involved. But the Jesuits itself, probably not. They probably could have thought themselves to work through someone like him. I think it was the CIA, the mob, and LBJ, as Stone laid out in his book that I interviewed him for 90 minutes on last 2 weeks ago. But great, great call. Good question. Let's go to Jason, line two. Jason, thanks for calling in. Go ahead, Jason.
Hey, a couple quick points. I don't know if you ever noticed, if you look at a picture of Cecil Rhodes, and Bill Clinton, and Bill Clinton allegedly didn't know his father. There are some really striking similarities there, and Bill Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar. Also, I just wonder if there's I know you have a lot of great people you collaborate with and stuff, but have you ever thought about getting together with some of the other bigger names and kind of breaking bread? I mean, I don't even know how to say it, with, say, Glenn Beck or something. Do you ever contact them or anything? And I'm not comparing you to him.
Right. Well, the reality is I don't need Glenn Beck, because from what I understand, Glenn Beck has read my books and some of my books, and particularly Grave Influence. In fact, I know people that gave Glenn Beck my books. So there were many people that back in the time that my book came out and I was on radio, they would email me and text me and say, you know, you talked about this, and then 2 days later he's talking about it almost verbatim. That's what they told me. But I do know people gave him my books. So, and I know he also, I'm told, gathered information from other people as well. So reality is I don't really need what Glenn's got, because we've had what we have way before Glenn ever came along. Secondly, I'm not so sure where Glenn's coming from with some of his cloak and dagger and some of the logos he wears in the past, and of course his Mormonism, which again, Mormonism was really birthed on Freemasonry. You're not supposed to be a Freemason if you're a Mormon, because Joseph Smith, who created Mormonism, stole much of it from Freemasonry to create Mormonism. So I'm not a huge Beck fan, because he just seems so sporadic to me, but that's just my opinion. Let's go to Jack, line 3 in Arizona. Jack, thanks for calling in. First-time caller.
Yeah, first time, but many, many, many years listening all the way back.
Wow.
Brandon. But,
wow.
Hey, I appreciate it. I want you to keep doing what you're doing. I just have a question for you. I haven't heard you comment. I could have missed it. I mean, I can't listen every day, but anyway, what about General Flynn and his prayer that invocated sevenfold rays and legions, a couple weeks ago? Have you heard about that? Or
I just got
to ask him about that.
I just got an email on that in the last 48 hours, and I have not had the chance to go watch the video and see what that's all about. And so I definitely want to do that. And find out what that's all about and where that's coming from, and I will do that. I also use this opportunity to say that when I bring speakers in, like someone like General Flynn or Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, some of the speakers I'm bringing in, I bring those guys in specifically on a certain area, and I specifically say to them, look, we're looking for a talk on patriotism. We're looking for a talk on national security. Dr. Tenpenny, I'm looking for a talk on medicine. So I try, when I pick my speakers, particularly in this day and age when we want to have a conference but have certain experts, I ask them to stay in their field and in their lane. So that's what I do. And yes, I want to get into what you're talking about. I just found out about it 48 hours ago. Thanks for the call. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.